Your morning starts now. It's the Q102 Jeff and Jen podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.
With Bryan Cranston this morning.
Yeah, the star of Breaking Bad. He released a video on social media announcing he was diagnosed with COVID-19 a little while ago. Said he was very lucky and only had very mild symptoms.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I guess, if you go through anything like that, it's just so varies. You know, you see people who are in the hospital and other people who have long-term symptoms that never quite seem to go away. What do they call those? The long-termers?
Lingering.
I wanted to announce that I had COVID-19 a little while ago. Very lucky, very mild symptoms. And so I thought maybe there's something I can do. So I started a program there. So hopefully the plasma donation can help some other people.
Here I am at UCLA Donation Center. How's your aim, Ron?
All right, I guess. Nothing is so entertaining to me than causing
excruciating pain.
Thanks,
Ron.
Sorry.
Wow. How much is that?
840 milliliters. Beautiful product.
Beautiful gold. Liquid gold.
Outstanding.
Thanks, Ron.
Yeah. The point of the video is to highlight the importance of donating plasma to help others. Even shows footage there at the UCLA Blood and Platelet Center. In the caption, he said, "You're probably feeling a little tied down, restricting your mobility, and like me, you're tired of this. Well, I just want to encourage you to have a little more patience."
Wow.
So.
Yeah. By the way, you guys heard, speaking of COVID, that Herman Cain passed away. Do you remember him?
Yeah. Didn't he run for president
at
some point?
He did. He was considered a Republican front runner at one point.
Yeah.
Anyway, Herman Cain, there's a whole story behind him. He passed away yesterday at the age of 74. He had been battling COVID-19 for like a month. And if you're not familiar with his name, he's best known for his campaign for the Republican presidential nomination in 2011. And there was a stretch there where he was actually considered the front runner. Well, before politics, he was a successful businessman, and he served as the CEO of Godfather's Pizza in the 80s and 90s.
I loved Godfather's Pizza.
I did, too.
Are there any of those? I mean, I immediately
not in this area that I don't think.
That crust.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Good. I don't know if I've ever heard of him. I got to look him up.
Yeah. And those were the years like that I was, you know, eating Godfather's Pizza when he was running it.
Right.
Anyway, he was diagnosed with COVID-19 on June 29th, like a week after. We remember that rally, President Trump's rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And it was very controversial because it was held inside an indoor arena where most of the attendees didn't wear masks and weren't doing the social distancing thing.
And the date was an issue, too.
Right. Well, 3 weeks after the rally, Oklahoma reported record high COVID-19 numbers. And of course, there is speculation that he caught the virus at the rally. Well, anyway, he was talking about the risks from the rally. I want to say this is like a week after he attended the rally.
First of all, people were concerned because of the media about whether or not this was going to turn into another uptick in the number of cases for COVID-19. Temperature checks were taken on everybody. They took my temperature. Masks were worn by some people. I wore a mask when I was in groups of people. Sanitizer was everywhere. So people didn't have an excuse. Whether or not it's going to work or not, we don't know. But the chances are, even though it was a crowded room of people, if they took precautions, probably not going to be a big uptick.
Yeah, so a post on his website from July 2nd said, "We honestly have no idea where he contracted it because Herman was doing a lot of traveling the past week, so there's really no way to trace that." But he had been healthy in recent years. He was still technically in a high-risk group because of his history with cancer. He overcame colon and liver cancer in the mid-2000s. But, Herman Cain, gone at the age of 74. Mm. President Trump weighing in, calling him a wonderful, very special man. We're going to take a break here. We got more E! News to come, including the NBA and the perfect self-isolating dance playlist as your E! News continues next.
The CEO of Planet Fitness said in an interview, the gym should be part of the solution to the coronavirus pandemic. Sure, you want to help? Lock the front door.
During an interview with ABC News, Dr. Fauci mentioned a new safety measure to defend against the coronavirus.
If you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it.
We're 1 week away from Dr. Fauci telling everyone to walk around in a beekeeper suit. Am I right?
Today was National Avocado Day, though it might as well be National Avocado Year because 2020 cost us way more than we expected and went bad really, really quickly.
So highlights from the monologues on the late night talk shows last night. And speaking of the late night shows, Alanis Morissette was on The Tonight Show last night. And God bless her, she was struggling to perform her song Ablaze remotely because her young daughter kept interrupting her.
The NBA, though, restarted in its bubble last night in Orlando, and there were two games, Utah Jazz and the New Orleans Pelicans and the Lakers and the Clippers. And during both national anthems, everyone on the court kneeled, every player, every coach, and even the refs. Most likely it was planned because it was the same in both games. And NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is fine with it. Afterward, he said, I respect our team's unified act of peaceful protest for social justice. And under these unique circumstances, we'll not enforce our longstanding rule requiring standing during the playing of our national anthem.
Oh.
What a shift there, huh?
All right.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But all of me, even the refs, everybody.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would have been as easy for them to pull off if they would have had crowds in the stands.
Oh, I'm sure not. But it had to have been weird. I think it's just weird being in an enclosed space and just not, you know, seeing the fans. Like, the cutouts just aren't the same thing without the crowd noise.
And basketball is different, too, because, I mean, I think, you know, anyone that's ever walked into a basketball practice, the noises with the squeaking of the shoes and just the echoing of the balls bouncing and just the noise, the talk and the chatter and the it definitely has a soundtrack and it feels empty when it is.
Well,
really,
basketball is super interactive when it comes to fans. Like, they're always chanting, yelling, jumping up and down, waving their arms, like, you know, because it goes from the one net to the other net so quickly. It's like everyone seems like they're always involved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here's what I thought that was interesting. Boxing matches have no audiences because of COVID-19. And since there's no crowd, you can really hear how loud the punches are landing on the boxers' bodies. Mm-hmm. Like, those aren't punching bags.
Yeah, I don't want any part.
Boy, can you imagine?
No.
So that is so weird.
Is this what the Mike Tyson fight's going to be like?
Maybe.
Wow.
3, 4.
Wow. Yep,
there you go.
Well, Ellen DeGeneres has finally spoken.
Yeah, so bring us up to date. What's going on with Ellen DeGeneres?
All right. So there have been a lot of people that have worked for her that are coming forward and saying that the entire environment there is toxic, complaining of
hostile work environment,
racial tensions.
There's been little rumblings of this for a couple years now.
Long time.
And now this is just like really exploded over the last, what, month or so?
Yeah. And just reports of Ellen being very difficult to work for. And
not paying them.
I mean, pretty much everything that you could imagine.
And we hear stuff like that about certain people, and, you know, sometimes where there's smoke, and other times you wonder, are they just like ganging up on her, beating up on her because she's so nice? I was never really sure about that, because on the show, you would never think in a million years. I mean, look at how she ends her show. What does she say? You know, be kind to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be nice, be kind.
I mean, that's her platform, really, spreading joy and kindness.
Yeah, she, you know, preaches a lot of charitable stuff and be nice to people and be tolerant and respectful.
All the A-listers love her. She's best friends with everybody.
Yeah.
So anyway, she has finally said something anyway. I have the entire letter she sent to her staff. She goes, hey, everybody, it's Ellen. On day one of our show, I told everyone in our first meeting that the Ellen DeGeneres Show would be a place of happiness. No one would ever raise their voice and everyone would be treated with respect. Obviously, something changed and I am disappointed to learn that this has not been the case. And for that, I am sorry. Anyone who knows me knows it's the opposite of what I believe and what I hoped for our show. She goes on to say, I'm not going to read the whole thing. As we've grown exponentially, I've Not been able to stay on top of everything and relied on others to do their jobs as they knew I'd want them done. Clearly, some didn't. That will now change, and I'm committed to ensuring this doesn't happen again. I'm also learning that people who work with me and for me are speaking on my behalf and misrepresenting who I am, and that is to stop. As someone who was judged and nearly lost everything for just being who I am, I truly understand and have deep compassion for those being looked at differently or treated unfairly, not equal, or worse, disregarded. To think that any one of you felt that way is awful to me. So it's been way too long, but we're finally having conversations about fairness and justice. We all have to be more mindful about the way our words and actions affect others, and I'm glad the issues at our show were brought to my attention. I promise to do my part in continuing to push myself and everyone around me to learn and grow.
So I heard the executive producer was fired.
Mm-hmm.
He was being let go, saying that I guess it was like the top echelon of management that was responsible, supposedly. Although, you know, how do you not know? Like, doesn't the kind of the buck stop at the top?
Yeah, and that's what she's saying. You know, she's, I take responsibility and I'm going to fix it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, 647, Jeff and Jen, Cincinnati's Q102. Let's talk about dancing like no one's watching. It used to be something we just said, but now it's kind of your only option. They asked 2,000 Americans to pick the songs that made them want to get up and dance, even if they're dancing alone.
Everybody dance now.
Yeah. And there's some great songs on here, like Shake It Off by Taylor Swift.
That's a fun song.
That's a fun head bopping song right there.
Any kind of song that like tells you what to do in the dance, you know, like Shake It Off. You feel like you know what you're supposed to do.
I feel like I got to shake something off.
Yeah. Like,
I got a B on me.
Yeah.
I got to shake it off. Work by Rihanna.
Oh.
Get Lucky by Daft Punk. Remember Hey Ya by Outkast.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Shake It Like a Polaroid Picture.
Yep. Just Dance by Lady Gaga. God, I got to have, like, no one got some of these
we
here.
We should have all of them. Don't you kind of feel like we should take an hour and just play all 10 of them?
I believe we should.
It is Friday.
We can have a dance hour.
Let's do it and order breakfast.
Okay. Then we'll start with this one. ABBA on Q102.
Thanks for listening to the Q102 Jeff and Jen Morning Show podcast, brought to you by CBG Airport. Start your trip at cbgairport.com.